and the satellites feeding back down to the terrestrial-based computers, you know. So anytime you have these electromagnetic wavelengths, it also means, by definition, you have these photons flying all over the place. And you can describe the electromagnetic wavelength as being either waves or as point particles. Don't worry too much about that. So people are working on the technology to build up and take advantage of all these free photons that are just flying all over the place, literally, every day, all the time. And on that note, it's a cheerful note. That's stuff that I'm interested in. People got to look into this. All right, coming up next, Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered. Thank you very much for joining us again tonight, folks. I had a great time, as always. I always learn a lot because, I'll be honest with you, I never really know where I'm going with a show when I sit down with it. I think I plan it out, and then it just heads off, and I learn stuff. Anyway, Bruce Birch coming up. I'm out of here. Have a great night. Have a great week.
Head on Radio Network News, I'm John Fox. The betrayal is complete. The pro-hunting Japanese have seized control of the Whaling Commission. Through a lengthy covert operation, Japan is poised to seize control of whale hunting, and it spells disaster for the endangered mammal. The environmental movement is facing one of its biggest reverses over one of its most cherished causes, save the whale. In a remarkable diplomatic coup, Japan, the leading pro-whaling nation, is poised to seek control of the whaling regulatory body, the International Whaling Commission, and so hasten the return of commercial whale hunting, which has been officially banned worldwide for the past 20 years. While the world has been looking the other way, the Japanese have spent nearly a decade and many millions of dollars building up a voting majority in the IWC by buying the votes of smaller member states with substantial foreign aid packages. Their aim is to reverse the moratorium on commercial whaling brought in by the IWC in 1986 as a result of the long Save the Whale campaign by Greenpeace and other environmental pressure groups. But perhaps most significantly of all, the majority vote will enable the introduction of secret ballots in the IWC. Where voting at present is open, this will mean that Japan's vote buying can no longer be tracked and will open the way for more countries to join the Japanese in their quest to have the moratorium ultimately overturned. The Guardian reports world leaders as well as Americans close to the Bush administration called for calm over Iran's nuclear program yesterday amid persistent reports that the U.S. is considering a military attack. In his Easter message from the Vatican, Pope Benedict spoke of, quote, internal crises linked to nuclear power, unquote, and urged, quote, may an honorable solution be found for all parties through serious and honest negotiations, unquote. UN Secretary Kofi Annan also cautioned against a rush towards confrontation, saying that military action against Iran would only worsen an already tense situation. Perhaps more significantly for the Bush administration, there were also warnings from several prominent figures in the U.S. Republican Senator Richard Lugar urged less haste in taking action against Iran and suggested direct talks between Washington and Tehran, quote, would be useful, unquote. Mr. Lugar, who is chairman of the influential Senate Foreign Relations Committee, told ABC TV there was a need to, quote, make more headway diplomatically, unquote. Oklahoma lawmaker says more jail time coming. Tom Coburn, senator from Oklahoma, says at least seven more lawmakers will be directly implicated by ties to convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Abramoff had deep corruption ties to the House side of the Capitol and was also a friend of Republicans. This is the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Home radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
Illegal detentions are now officially of infinite length. According to John Negroponte, the nation's spy chief, the detentions of suspected Al-Qaeda terrorists in secret CIA prisons are upheld for, quote, as long as the war on terror continues, unquote. Today's Times of London says there are battalions of suicide bombers ready to strike Britain and the U.S. if there is an attack on Iran. The main force, named the Special Unit of Martyr Seekers in the Revolutionary Guards, was first seen last month when members marched in a military parade, dressed in olive green uniforms with explosive packs around their waists and detonators held high. Republican Representative Catherine Harris of Florida, who is challenging Bill Nelson in the Senate race there, has a significant disadvantage. She is behind 30 percentage points in recent polls. No word on when Harris will give up her campaign. Iran said today it would give $50 million to the Hamas-led government in Palestine today. The European and U.S. government suspended $1 billion in aid to Palestine as a result of the democratic election of the Hamas party to power in Palestine. The White House changed times for the Easter egg roll admittance to exclude those who had waited outside the residence the longest. Those who waited the longest happened to be members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, the LGBTQ. The Big Apple decides to become the Big Brother. New York has begun to implement a plan to install 500 surveillance cameras at a cost of $9 million. The city says this is to combat crime and terrorism. No word on whether or not this would have been able to stop what happened on September the 11th. And that's the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox. Happy Easter.
There's no such thing as a political prisoner. All prisoners are political prisoners. All trials in America are political trials. And when you go into jail, you see that. Because you see that.
Let's get ready to welcome All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'm back on the air with you again for one more Sunday. What a fantastic day it's been here. We had a great show last night with John Fox on Fourth Estate Radio, had David Rovics in on the program, and talked about a lot of different things, including September the 11th. Excuse me. You know, we have a lot of topics to discuss tonight. Not the least of which is the entire situation going on in Iran. I've got a lot of information that I want to get your way, you know, and also get your opinion on what's going on over there, and what's going on here. And before I get going too far though, I wanted to make sure that we have all of the housekeeping issues dealt with and given, their due attention. We are chatting in the Head On Radio Network chat room. Like for you to come on over and join us if you want to have input on the show or just want to come and hang out with some of the finest minds that exist anywhere on the planet. Please do come and check us out there. You can go to headonradionetwork.com and click live chat, and that'll get you right into that chat room. Also, would like to give you out the email address if you'd like to get in touch with me tonight. Actually, I'm going to give you a different email address if you want to get in touch with me tonight, because I'm on the road, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. But you can send an email if you're interested in corresponding with me via email. You can do that by sending it to Bruce Birch, B-U-R-C-H, Bruce Birch at earthlink.net. And if you send it during the show, I'll do my best to get that information on the air for you. Also, the show itself is being streamed world-freaking-wide by the White Rose Society, and my cousin, Ben Birch, we're not really cousins, but I claim him. He's good people. Ben Birch over at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. He also archives this radio program and I think around 5 million hours of progressive talk radio. And I did the math once. 5 million hours. If you listen to it starting today, it would take you approximately 600 years to listen to it all. So, you know, start with All Things Reconsidered. Then go to Fourth Estate Radio. And then head on with Bob Kincaid. If you do those three, then you'll be doing great for that. what a great day! I have been in California all weekend. I came out to California yesterday, flew out via United Airlines. I don't know if I can mention that on the air, but I just did. I'm not going to give you an ad for United. Trust me, they did an okay job, but. I got everywhere I needed to go on time. That's all I'm going to say about that. The passengers of United Airlines, however, oh my goodness, what a great bunch they were. I spent about 3 hours yesterday drying off, sitting in my seat by the window. The lady sitting next to me poured a cup of 7-Up all over me, and so. Needless to say, I was not feeling my very best when I got off the flight, but I got into where I was heading and took a shower and got all cleaned up and everything, and felt much, 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 much better. I am in sunny California, where it's been raining for 4 solid weeks, and where we just had a hailstorm about 30 minutes ago. So, what a great day it's been. And actually, you know, I'm not going to bore you with the details of my trip all throughout the entire show, but I will for another few more minutes. And that is that I'm here visiting a family member, and we went out today and just to check out some things, and ended up at this wonderful tea shop. And if Jenny is actually listening to the program tonight, we sent I gave her a. Let her know where to come and listen to the program. But if you're listening to the program, this is All Things Reconsidered. Welcome aboard, first-time listeners. Went to this wonderful tea shop, and not a coffee shop, a tea shop. And this tea shop was a lady named Miss Margaret. And Miss Margaret did a tea reading for me. And the tea reading told me some things that were pretty darn amazing. And if enough of you folks in the chat room want to, I will tell you all about the tea reading if you're interested. But you're going to have to let me know that you're interested, or else I won't tell you. Anyway, so the tea reading happened, and it gave me some crazy information, man. And so I blah blah blah, and I was like, "Whoa, this is crazy!" And I also got this book called "The Making" or "The Art of Tea" or something. Anyway, pretty interesting. So I'm all in this tea kick now, and there may be a story every show about tea. We'll see how that goes. Like you're very interested, you probably aren't. You probably don't give a damn. That's fine. All right, so we are chatting again in the Tom Hartman chat room. You can go to Head On Radio. I'm sorry, the Head On Radio Network chat room. You can go there, headonradionetwork.com. If you're interested in getting in on the radio program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. We'll pick up the dime for the telephone call. And we'll definitely, if you're interested, whatever you want to talk about this Sunday. I've got a few stories up my sleeve that I wanted to talk about, but whatever you want to talk about is what we will talk about tonight. I am on remote location in sunny California, where it's been raining for 4 weeks, and I'm planning to go see some snow tomorrow. Meanwhile, back where I'm from, it's 85 degrees and sunny. So do check us out in that regard. Also, send me an email, brucebirch@earthlink.net. So, all right, let's get on to some other stuff. I do have, it looks like I've got a, no, I don't, okay. I thought I had a break coming up. I thought I was getting a little chat there over the break. I want to talk about Iran tonight. We have a situation brewing where we have some folks who are definitely pushing toward seeing something happen in Iran, and we have a lot of information coming out that, it may very well be in the very near future that we invade that country. And I have about 10 stories that I've been able to pull up regarding this situation. Now, you know, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about that. I also have some other stuff related to the Real ID Act, in which the federal government wants to be able to track us using RFID cards and all of our driver's licenses. If you've not heard about that, you need to hear about it. And also wanted to talk a little bit about, do some week in review stuff and talk about what happened with the false claims about the trailers, the bioweapons trailers that Colin Powell claimed were, you know, were being used in Iraq to create weapons of misdirection, I mean mass destruction. So we'll get onto that a little bit later on the show. I'm a little subdued tonight. Not wide open, which is fine. So let's tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll start the rest of the show tonight. Since I've given you the heads up on things. If you want to get in on the radio program, please call 1-877-443-2366. This is All Things Reconsidered. My name's Bruce Burke.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
You're back on All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch, and that's my favorite music in the entire world. That's the impenetrable. I don't know if you can penetrate Frank Zappa, but yeah, it's fantastic music. Now, I've had a bunch of people asking me about a tea reading. I don't know. What are you guys talking about? Oh, I mentioned that, didn't I? Oh, gosh. Darn. Well, okay. Well, the tea reading says that I'm going to become a master tea chopper, and no, okay, really, I'll tell you all about that later in the show. The tea situation. I went down to this fantastic tea shop today. Got about 18 different kinds of tea and spent too much money. What an amazing place, man! I was like, whoa, this is like, oh my gosh! And there were like 15,000 different kinds of teas and. And so, yeah, I'm in the great state of California, and you know, this is the first time that I've ever really spent some real time here, you know, outside of a conference meeting. And since I've been here, I've had some fantastic conversations with family members, and it's been going very, very well in all regards. So thank you, family member, as she walks by. Thank you, family member. Wanted to get over to some of these other things. I will definitely give you the tea reading later on in the program, but that'll give you incentive to stick around. But before I do all that, I want to talk a little bit about what we're facing in Iraq. I mean, I have on this radio program and on Fourth Estate Radio, we have been discussing the situation there. Cy Hirsch has come out and said that the Bush administration is planning on using tactical nuclear weapons to bomb suspected nuclear sites, and which I think is very interesting because we won't know afterwards if they were or not because they'll be radioactive either way. So, you know, it's an easy way to cover your tracks, isn't it, Mr. Bush? I wanted to give you the rundown of the costs of the Iraq war thus far. Also, $273,688,000 or $1,574,001 thus far. You can go to nationalpriorities.org to find out the cost, the actual monetary cost of war, if you're interested in that kind of thing. And oh, it's going up as I'm speaking, so it's actually something else now. They have a wonderful, cool little counter there. Nationalpriorities.org. You can also go to iCasualties.org/OIF to find out the human cost of the occupation and, or I should say, illegal invasion occupation of Iraq. And we're about to go into another country. Yay! As I said last night, you know, we invaded Afghanistan and we immediately treated them as the redheaded stepchild while we prepared for inevitable war in Iraq. immediately invaded Iraq under false pretenses, got into Iraq, and now we're treating Iraq as the redheaded stepchild as we're preparing for invading Iran. Now, I don't know if anyone else sees the insanity or the complete stupidity of this, as I do, but, you know, let's say you do. Let's say you're able to sort of look through the smoke and mirrors and realize that all of this rhetoric is just being spouted by folks who would like nothing more than to have perpetual war, of course, for perpetual peace, right? Let's say you're able to see through that. What can you do to try to create change? What can you do as a citizen or as a non-citizen or as an illegal alien or whatever you are? What can you do to try to combat this kind of situation? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. But before we do that, I want to get you some information. Because part of the, in my mind, part of battling this is getting the truth. It's not necessarily, you know, just going out and marching against stuff, which I also heavily recommend. But, you know, it's also about being armed with the truth so that when people come to you and say, oh, yeah, we're going to invade their country, Iran, because they're evil bastards, you can actually say to them, yeah, well, you know what? not really. And you can give them actual information. Now, this is, of course, assuming that they want to hear actual information, but let's go ahead and go over to this story. This is out of the Asian Age, today's edition. The United States has begun planning a full-scale military campaign against Iran that involves missile strikes, a land invasion, and a naval operation to establish control over the Strait of Hormuz even before the March 2003 invasion of Iraq, a former U.S. intelligence analyst disclosed on Sunday. William Arkin, who served as the U.S. Army's top intelligence mind on West Berlin in the 1970s, and who accurately predicted U.S. military operations against Iraq, said the plan is known in military circles as TIRANT, an acronym for Theater Iran Near Term. It includes a scenario for a land invasion by the U.S. Marine Corps, a detailed analysis of the Iranian missile force, and a global strike plan against any Iranian weapons of mass destruction. This is written in the Washington Post. According to military sources, close to the planning process, this task was given to the Army General John Abizaid, now commander of CENTCOM, in 2002. Mr. Arkin wrote. Now, why is this fun? Well, I'm going to tell you. If they were planning to invade Iran prior to Iraq, and we know that there was an invasion plan for Iraq on the table in 2001, early 2001, then the chances are that what we're seeing in this kind of situation is the very same kind of thinking, which is, well, let's just make plans to invade countries. And who's next? Venezuela, perhaps? Following the 1996 bombing of an apartment building used by the U.S. Air Force in Khobar, Saudi Arabia, which was reportedly traced to Iranian agents, the administration of then-President Bill Clinton also considered a bombing campaign, according to Richard Clark, who held at the time high-level counterterrorism positions at the National Security Council. But after a long debate, the highest levels of the military could not forecast a way in which things could end favorably for the U.S. So it sounds very similar, you know, if we're going to talk about, you know, what Bill Clinton did versus what George Bush has been doing, if you encounter that argument, let the people know that you talk to that there's no way in hell that this could end favorably for any president of the United States. If we invade Iran, here's what's going to happen. Very quickly, I'll tell you. Because I think, you know what I should do? Here's a good idea. Maybe I can go back and see Miss Margaret tomorrow and get her to do a tea reading on Iran. Anyway, here's what's going to happen in Iran. We will, you know, if we invade, and it looks very, very strongly like this could happen, if we invade,
immediately there will be counterterrorism around the world by Iranian agents. This is scary stuff, folks. But not so scary that we have to go through break. So, we'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Help you. Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch, and grateful to be back with you on this radio program this evening. We've been talking about Iran. We've been talking about tea readings. We've been talking about all kinds of crap. I'd like to hear what you might have to say, though, if you're interested in giving on this radio program. I do absolutely encourage you to do so. You can call me at 1-877-443-2366. We have plenty of lines open at the time. You know, I'm getting questions in the chat room about where I am. Well, if I told you that, it wouldn't be an undisclosed location, now would it? Actually, I'm in Grass Valley. And now, I'm not going to tell you what part of Grass Valley, Slaughter Hill. If you know anything about Grass Valley, then you know where I am. If you don't know anything about Grass Valley, then you have to have lived here for 60 years to know where that is. So, Google that on your internets. Oh my gosh, I get this little note from Agnes, my producer, saying, that's when I said I was in an undisclosed location, she says, you're at our house?
Yeah, we got to hide us liberals, man, because the bottom line is they're out to get us, man. There's no question in my mind. You know, I hate to say it that way, but good Lord, it's just the craziest. I was surprised I was able to fly. Did I tell you the story about me flying? Oh, yes, I got poured on. But the other part of it was when I went through security at 5:30 in the morning at Piedmont Triad International Airport, there was one guy there. Well, actually, there were two guys there. There was one guy running security and another guy sweeping the floor. And I think that maybe they interchanged positions. I'm not really sure about that. But, you know, they were both wearing cool uniforms anyway. So I'm going through the security, and I say to the guy, well, I've got radio station equipment or radio broadcasting equipment in the one bag and have a laptop in the other. And he says, radio broadcasting equipment? And I said, yes, radio broadcasting equipment. And he said, oh, and whisked me through like I was made out of butter. You know, didn't even ask me to take my shoes off. He might lose his job at this point. Sure. But I told him I did political talk radio, and so he whisked me right through the security there. But we were talking about Iran prior to me going on to the break, and I know this is not the best topic in the world and not really a fun topic, but it has to be talked about. We have all kinds of stories. I just told you about the fact that they had been planning to invade Iran even before plans to invade Iraq were on the table. This next article I want to give you is out of the Toronto Star, and this is about what could happen. Let me just read the first three or four paragraphs of the four or five paragraphs of this, and let you get an idea of what this could look like. On the ground, more terror: poison-laced missiles raining down on U.S. troops in Iraq or Afghanistan. The downing of a U.S. passenger airliner, suicide bombers in major cities perhaps unleashing their deadly payload in a shopping mall food court. It could be 9/11 all over again, or worse. On the political front, more anti-Americanism, renewed venom aimed at Washington from European capitals, greater distrust from China and Russia, outright hatred in the Arab and Muslim world. Oil prices spiraling out of control, a global recession at hand. In Iran, a galvanizing of a splintered nation. An end to hopes for political reform, a rally around the leader phenomenon common among the victimized. An ability to rebuild a nuclear program in 2 to 4 years. These are the potential costs of a U.S. military strike in Iran. It would be Iran's Pearl Harbor, and it would be the beginning of a war, not the end of a war. It will set back American strategic interests for a generation, says Joseph Cincione, the director for nonproliferation at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He says the war will take place at a time and location of Iran's choosing. It will make Iraq look like a preliminary bout, but the cost of inaction could be even higher, according to this gentleman. A defiant nation with an apparently unstable leadership steeped in hatred for Americans in the heart of the Middle East with nuclear capabilities. With Tehran ignoring both threats and cajoling from the international community and declaring itself prematurely part of the world's nuclear club this week, talk of the Washington stick moved to the forefront, while the carrot, now discredited, was pushed off center stage. If you hadn't heard before, now you know. Iran claims to have been able to successfully enrich uranium, which puts them into the world's nuclear club. Now, you know, but the other side of that, now I want to also inform you, the other side of that is that the uranium that they enriched, they bought from China, which came from Australia. And that uranium was such a small amount that they can't do anything with it. They'd have to have, 100 times the amount of uranium that they had, that they have been able to successfully enrich. And they just don't have the infrastructure for that. And that is straight out of the mouth of two nuclear scientists, both of whom were UN weapons inspectors, who know about what's going on in Iran, Scott Ritter and Hans Blix. Blix, as you may be very well aware, was the chief weapons inspector for the UN before Bush ordered them out of the country so he could invade Iraq. He says that at the very least, it would be 5 years before Tehran would be able to have a successful nuclear capability to be able to attack using missiles. 5 years at the most, or I'm sorry, at the least, 5 years. The U.S. State Department said Friday that Tehran could build a nuclear bomb in 16 days. A little bit of a disparity there. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff, but I'm not a rocket scientist or anything like that, but it seems like to me if they just enriched uranium for the first time, there's not much there that it would take a little bit longer than 16, unless, of course, the bomb were the size of a coffee cup. You know, I guess that could still be called a bomb, but I'm not necessarily that sure that it would do that much damage, or at least not the kind of damage that the United States would like for us to believe. At any rate, in this article, Tim Harper from the Toronto Star lays out the case that Iraq would look like a warm-up bout in contrast with an invasion on Iran. And, you know, as you heard in the top of the hour news by my good friend and veritable newsman John Fox, he even quoted the fact that there are suicide battalions, there are battalions of suicide bombers in Iran that are willing to go out and wreak havoc on the world if made, you know, if there's an attack. And let me read you part of this. This is out of the London Times today, the Sunday Times of London. Iran has formed battalions of suicide bombers to strike at British and American targets if the nation's nuclear sites are attacked. According to Iranian officials, 40,000 trained suicide bombers are ready for action. The main force that is named the Special Unit of Martyr Seekers in the Revolutionary Guards was first seen last month when members marched in a military parade dressed in olive-green uniforms with explosive packs around their waists and detonators held high. Dr. Hassan Dr. Hassan Abbasi, head of the Center for Doctrinal Strategic Studies in the Revolutionary Guards, said in a speech that 29 Western targets had been identified. "We are ready to attack American and British sensitive points if they attack Iran's nuclear facilities." He added that some of them were quite close to the Iranian border in Iraq. In a tape recording heard by the Sunday Times, Abbasi warned the would-be martyrs to pay close attention to wily England and vowed that Britain's demise is on our agenda. That's pretty heady rhetoric there. Let's see. There's something else I wanted to read about. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad warned Friday that Israel was heading towards annihilation. He was speaking at a Tehran conference on Palestinian rights aimed at promoting Iran as a new Middle Eastern superpower. So, again, we have a very interesting situation with what's going on. I'm getting some other messages here, but I just wanted, you know, I wanted to bring some of these items to your attention this evening, because you're not going to hear this in the regular news. I'm just going to tell you point blank, you're not going to hear it. Now, here's the other thing. Here's another story about the enrichment of the uranium. Okay, because this is again, this is when you listen to the rhetoric on the American side regarding the enrichment of uranium in Iran. It's easy to get confused because the media spin the details to sort of advance the American policy objectives. The Security Council, the UN Security Council, did not order Iran to stop enriching uranium. Okay, and it's not even in their power to do so because enrichment is guaranteed under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. For the Security Council to forbid Iran to continue with enrichment activities would be tantamount to repealing the treaty itself. They didn't do that. What they did was request that Iran suspend enrichment activities so that the International Atomic Energy Agency could further prove
that Iran's nuclear programs were entirely for peaceful purposes. Now, Iran graciously, in their venerable way, they declined. But Iran has followed every minute step that the Bush administration has taken in the long march to war with Iraq, so it was only natural that they would choose to take a different path. Why would they invite more intrusive inspections, allowing the UN to ferret through every inch of Iranian territory in an attempt to uncover every armory, radar station, and missile site before the inevitable U.S. bombing? Why would they endure the humiliation of being singled out and scorned for complying with the Non-Proliferation Treaty when nuclear cheaters like India are rewarded with praise and offered banned nuclear technology by Washington? These are questions that need to be asked that you will not see asked in the media, by the way. The Security Council actually confirmed Iran's right to enrich uranium in a terse presidential statement which they issued after 2 weeks of deliberation. The Security Council reaffirms its commitment to the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons and recalls the rights of states party in conformity with Articles 1 and 2 of the treaty to develop, research, production, and use of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes without discrimination. Well, without discrimination is pretty clear language, isn't it? Should we be surprised that not one newspaper in the Western press printed this astonishing vindication of Iran's conduct? Gosh, do I sound treasonous? I'm really hoping that I don't, but yeah. If we're not going to get the truth, then we need to be very careful about the decisions that we make. Okay? The media tends to characterize Iran's behavior as defiance, as if anyone who stands in the way of American foreign policy is inherently evil. In fact, there's an important principle involved in Iran's response that is never adequately explored. The right to enrich uranium is the central tenet of the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty. That is why the language of the treaty is referred to as an inalienable right. This point is oftentimes overlooked, but it is crucial to understanding the true spirit of the treaty. Every nation is entitled to the full benefits of nuclear technology as long as they comply with inspections that ensure their programs are strictly being used for peaceful purposes. Now, I don't want to seem ungrateful that I was born in this nation where I can say freely the things that I'm saying tonight. Because I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful. But I do want to say this. When was the last time that a UN inspector inspected United States nuclear facilities and confirmed that there was no hanky-panky going on? Well, you know what? We're developing nuclear bombs right now, for Christ's sake. And these nuclear bombs, I mean, what makes this, it just blows my mind. We can do it, but nobody else can. I mean, what's the standard there? If this is a free and equal, and we're trying to promote democracy, around the world. If we're trying to do that, then why not allow, I mean, why not be equitable in what we're doing? If we are going to call the kettle, since we're the pot, if we're going to call the kettle black, then we need to be very well aware that at some point the kettle's going to want to kick our freaking ass. Okay? So I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination, I don't think it's any surprise that we have a nation right now in Iran that is basically saying to us, you know, you guys are full of crap. And we don't want to fall victim to, you know, the inevitable capitalist expansion into Iran. You know, which is what I think a lot of this is centered around, not so much around nuclear issues. I think it's more centered around economic stuff. I think it's, I mean, you know, that's the ball that's being thrown out into the media. But I do believe that there are other things afoot that are probably causing this. And we'll talk about that some, too. As we are heading toward a break here very shortly. But, it is very surprising. It is very surprising that we haven't had that much of an outcry over this information. Iran has a right to develop nuclear technology. Okay? Just like every other country in the world. We'll be right back. My name is Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. We'll be right back.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told me that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fats, and flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel, not only their feed. Small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or spilling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more EcoWrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch, and that is a song by Frank called "My Guitar Wants to Kill Your Mama." What a great tune. Okay, the Ohio Democrat in the chat room says this is an interesting little thing. I'm just going to read it to you because I thought it was kind of interesting. The Bible says that heaven is the light of the sun sevenfold, and hell is the lake of fire and brimstone. According to Boltzmann's radiation theory, the light of seven suns is 977 degrees, where brimstone is liquid sulfur and evaporates at 843 degrees. This makes heaven 143 degrees hotter than hell. Just wanted to let you know that. Because we all need to know how hot heaven and hell is. Yeah, don't take a jacket. But if you're going to California right now, you may want to bring a jacket, because it's kind of cold out there. They're actually calling for freaking snow tonight where I'm at. This is great. I just left 85-degree temperatures in sunny North Carolina to come out to sunny California, and it's going to snow, which I'm okay with. I mean, I like snow. Okay, let me just get back to the show here. All right, because I'm floundering a bit. We were talking about Iran, and, you know, and when I went to the break, I just talked about the disparity, if you will, between what the United States does and is allowed to do, et cetera, but what we allow other countries to do. And then we turn around and say, we're trying to spread freedom and democracy. I mean, I don't know. I'm laughing because it's almost a laughable thing. I mean, yes, we are. I mean, you know, George Bunny Pants is running around the world trying to spread democracy. But on the same token, he purports to want to control nations that are outside of our grasp. So what is our job here as progressives? What is our job here as progressives? Is our job to sit back and say, okay, whatever? Is our job to sit back and kind of wait to see what the reaction of the world is going to be? Or is our job to get out of there into the streets right now and say, no more, Mr. Bush. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for the majority of Americans any longer. I think, what was the latest poll I saw? 36%. 64% of Americans think that this guy's a freaking moron. Where are you at, 64%? You know? Okay, anyway. So we were discussing that situation. Now there's a couple more Iran stories that I wanted to bring to your attention. Now it's very interesting because Ahmadinejad, the president of the Iran, said something about Israel this week as well, and because he said he wants, what is it, the new U.S. media said that he wanted to annihilate Israel. Well, he spoke in out of a 35 or 40 minute speech, that was the one thing that he was quoted. Now Ahmadinejad has also been a Holocaust denier, so I'm not going to get too far into defending him personally. But he has he said much more than just annihilating Israel. I mean, the bottom line is that there seems to be a concerted effort on the part of the West to try to take over the Middle East. Now, what, Bruce, evidence do you have to assert this claim? Let's look at a map. If you have a map of the Middle East, I'd like to ask you to pull it out, or just maybe go online and Google the Middle East. If you look at it, let's look at Iraq. Okay, we invaded Iraq in 2003. Iraq is directly to the left, directly to the east of Iran. If you look to the south of Iran, okay, now Iraq is, in our pocket at this point. Let's look to the south of Iraq. There's Kuwait, and there's Saudi Arabia, and there's Qatar, and there is the United Arab Emirates, all of whom are allies of the United States. These are all on the southern border of Iran, also right there with the Straits of Hormuz. If you look to the right of Iran, you have Pakistan and India, two nations the president just visited, who, we're going to be trading nuclear secrets to India now for mangoes. I wasn't sure if you were aware of that, but we had our March Mango Madness sale last month on All Things Reconsidered, so we won't talk about that now. It's April. And again, there is only one country that borders Iran. A very small sliver of China borders Iran. And that's the only country that we don't have in our pocket. Actually, and that's really mainly because we're in their pocket. every other country around. Forgot about Afghanistan. Afghanistan in the upper western part borders the upper western part of Iran, and then directly above that, directly north of. I'm trying to remember the name of the country right north of Iran. I think it's Kyrgyzstan or something like that. But the point being is that every country, we have the entire nation surrounded with countries we have either invaded or bought out or are in the middle of secret trading deals with or something like that. And if that doesn't mean that we're on a plan to take over the entire Middle East, then I don't know what, you know, tell me what it means, because I'd like to know. It certainly looks that way. And that's what is the most, I want to say scary about it, is that I don't believe there's enough soldiers in the U.S. Army to completely take over the Middle East. Anyway, after the top of the hour, we're going to go to some different stories. I just wanted to, you know, we have to pay attention to some of these things, ladies and gentlemen. Even if you don't want to call me and talk about it, that's fine. If you want to sit back and just listen and let me, you know, ramble on, that's great too. But one thing to keep in mind while we're doing this, and while I'm bringing you this information, is that it's an ever-changing situation. All right. We got news. It's about 2 minutes before the top of the hour. My friend John Fox will be on with the news here shortly. If you want to get on the radio program, just dial 1-877-443-2366. This is All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch.
Head on Radio Network News, I'm John Fox. The betrayal is complete. The pro-hunting Japanese have seized control of the Whaling Commission. Through a lengthy covert operation, Japan is poised to seize control of whale hunting, and it spells disaster for the endangered mammal. The environmental movement is facing one of its biggest reverses over one of its most cherished causes, save the whale. In a remarkable diplomatic coup, Japan, the leading pro-whaling nation, is poised to seek control of the whaling regulatory body, the International Whaling Commission, and so hasten the return of commercial whale hunting, which has been officially banned worldwide for the past 20 years. While the world has been looking the other way, the Japanese have spent nearly a decade and many millions of dollars building up a voting majority in the IWC by buying the votes of smaller member states with substantial foreign aid packages. Their aim is to reverse the moratorium on commercial whaling brought in by the IWC in 1986 as a result of the long Save the Whale campaign by Greenpeace and other environmental pressure groups. But perhaps most significantly of all, the majority vote will enable the introduction of secret ballots in the IWC. Where voting at present is open, this will mean that Japan's vote buying can no longer be tracked and will open the way for more countries to join the Japanese in their quest to have the moratorium ultimately overturned. The Guardian reports world leaders as well as Americans close to the Bush administration called for calm over Iran's nuclear program yesterday amid persistent reports that the U.S. is considering a military attack. In his Easter message from the Vatican, Pope Benedict spoke of, quote, internal crises linked to nuclear power, unquote, and urged, quote, may an honorable solution be found for all parties through serious and honest negotiations, unquote. UN Secretary Kofi Annan also cautioned against a rush towards confrontation, saying that military action against Iran would only worsen an already tense situation. Perhaps more significantly for the Bush administration, there were also warnings from several prominent figures in the U.S. Republican Senator Richard Lugar urged less haste in taking action against Iran and suggested direct talks between Washington and Tehran, quote, would be useful, unquote. Mr. Lugar, who is chairman of the influential Senate Foreign Relations Committee, told ABC TV there was a need to, quote, make more headway diplomatically, unquote. Oklahoma lawmaker says more jail time coming. Tom Coburn, senator from Oklahoma, says at least seven more lawmakers will be directly implicated by ties to convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Abramoff had deep corruption ties to the House side of the Capitol and was also a friend of Republicans. This is the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
Illegal detentions are now officially of infinite length. According to John Negroponte, the nation's spy chief, the detentions of suspected al-Qaeda terrorists in secret CIA prisons are upheld for, quote, as long as the war on terror continues, unquote. Today's Times of London says there are battalions of suicide bombers ready to strike Britain and the U.S. if there is an attack on Iran. The main force, named the Special Unit of Martyr Seekers in the Revolutionary Guards, was first seen last month when members marched in a military parade, dressed in olive green uniforms with explosive packs around their waists and detonators held high. Republican Representative Catherine Harris of Florida, who is challenging Bill Nelson in the Senate race there, has a significant disadvantage. She is behind 30 percentage points in recent polls. No word on when Harris will give up her campaign. Iran said today it would give $50 million to the Hamas-led government in Palestine today. The European and U.S. government suspended $1 billion in aid to Palestine as a result of the democratic election of the Hamas party to power in Palestine. The White House changed times for the Easter egg roll admittance to exclude those who had waited outside the residence the longest. Those who waited the longest happened to be members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, the LGBTQ. The Big Apple decides to become the Big Brother. New York has begun to implement a plan to install 500 surveillance cameras at a cost of $9 million. The city says this is to combat crime and terrorism. No word on whether or not this would have been able to stop what happened on September the 11th. And that's the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox. Happy Easter.
I'm back on All Things Reconsidered with you. That was I love that tune, too. That's just, I'm so glad I get to pick my own music. If you haven't checked out Frank Zappa yet, boy, do I encourage you to do that. Okay. Before we went to the break, I was talking about Iran and sort of the situation that's going on with that and basically gave you an entire hours worth of information about what's happening there, where the foreign policy is or isn't, or lack thereof, and why it is that it's pretty asinine that they're allowed to, or that we're fussing about their enriching uranium. If you want to hear that hour, go and check out WhiteRoseSociety.org. All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch, and you can listen to that hour because I'm not going to recap it at this point. But for those of you who stuck around long enough to, for the best part of the program,
I have my tea reading in front of me. Now, let's take a look at this. Now, okay, now, oh, shit, I didn't number the pages. There we go. Okay, yes, all right. Now, I'm not going to give you all the gory details, okay? But let's suffice it to say this was a 3-year reading. Now, if you've never had a tea reading, I strongly encourage you to go get one. Why? And I strongly encourage that you go get one at, let's see, what's the name of it? At the Keeping Still Mountain Tea Shop, 405 Commercial Street, Nevada City, California. Telephone number 530-265-2367. It's a guy named Jick. Now, Jick wasn't there, and I'm hoping that I'll get to meet Jick at some point, but Jenny was there. And Jenny told me all about tea, man. Enough so that I spent an inordinate amount of money buying all kinds of teas and implements of mass destruction that you do with tea, such as a tea tumbler, and a tea strainer, and a tea book. I think Jenny's a good salesman. Anyway. Yeah, you can also check that tea shop out by going to keepingstillmountain.com. It's keepingstillmountain.com. And they sell stuff over the internet, too. So do check those people out. They're just a fantastic shop. But while I was there, my dear sister and her wonderful partner mentioned that they had a tea reading done there. And I thought, you know what? That might be kind of interesting. Now, we were planning on going out to see V for Vendetta. And, you know, the time was getting short, and we were looking at it and thinking about it, and what we ended up doing, anyway, I ended up getting a tea reading, and they, you know, just because, and actually it was much, probably more entertaining to me anyway at the moment. And we'll get over that just in just a couple minutes here, but I do have Spike on the line with me, my good friend Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, Gonzo Green. How is it out there in the land of sushi and liberals?
Sushi and liberals.
Yeah, you know, the Fox News stereotype of California. It's all, you know, Birkenstock, patchouli oil. You know, every negative stereotype they can try to come up with to describe California.
What's wrong with Birkenstocks, man?
I'm more of a Doc Martens fan myself.
Okay, well, and I, you know, I like I like shoes. Anyway, and actually the sushi, I haven't seen any sushi yet, but I've just been told that there is a fantastic restaurant, a steak restaurant here in town where you can actually walk in and cook your own steak, man. What do you think about that?
I think you might as well save the money and stay home and do it yourself. That sounds like the biggest waste of money. I could just go in my backyard and barbecue steak.
Not when it's snowing, though, man.
Actually, I do that when it's snowing.
You do?
And I don't use a gas grill. You should see me out there in the heavy wind starting a charcoal fire. It's quite a sight when it gets ignited.
Boom.
Yeah.
I can only admit, don't use that lighter for other things that I know that, yeah, anyway. My good friend Spike. Now tell me, what's on your mind this evening, man, besides, talking about California in a derogatory way?
I couldn't help myself, you know. Too much Colbert Report puts me in that mood. well, first of all, I find it interesting this week that we're up to, what, about 6 now former generals who have now criticized Ronald Rumsfeld and his incompetent job at leading the United States into a debacle in Iraq.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And all three of, all 6 of them have actually, they're not just armchair generals. These are folks who have actually commanded troops.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite is Snot McClellan comes out and says,
who?
Well, none of
who?
Snot McClellan.
McClellan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I call him Snot instead of Scott since he's so incredibly rude to the press corps. But Snot McClellan comes out and says, well, none of the active generals are saying that. And it's, I know you know what, Sherlock, because anyone who's an active general by law, if they publicly criticize the Secretary of Defense, the Vice President, and the Commander-in-Chief, they can be punished by court-martial. So what kind of crazy yahoo would come out and actually risk jail time to tell it like it is? You know, it's like, yeah, no kidding. When you're the, you know, the boss is forcing his employees to keep their mouth shut, of course they're not going to come out and say anything. You know, I mean, and it just kind of cracks me up. And of course that, you know, the fringe 20%ers out there who will always, you know, go off the face of the earth for these clowns. They'll just buy that hook, line, and sinker. Oh, well, yeah, well, no one active is saying anything, you know. It boggles my mind how incompetent and dim-witted people in this country can be just to fall for that stuff still. I mean, that's the worst part of these spinning points they deliver is they still a 20% here who buy it every time. And the writing is clearly on the wall. This guy shouldn't have a job. And I find it very interesting that, once again, Jomentum is out there trying to support an oust.
That would be Joe Lieberman, right?
Yeah, trying to support an oust for Mr. Rumsfeld, considering he was rumored at one time to be someone Bush was looking at, so how convenient for him. You know, the only reason he's calling for him to get ousted suddenly is because he's thinking, hey, you know, I can be Kissinger. I can go in there and be the Secretary of Defense next. Yeah, you know, he just, you know, thinking about himself. He's not even, he doesn't, don't anyone out there get fooled by Joe Lieberman. He still could really give a rat's behind about the safety of troops. I mean, this guy is an opportunist with a capital O. I know my enunciation was probably a little poor at that word, but Lieberman is just looking at opportunity to make himself bigger, and he could still care less about the troops on the ground. And that's the first thing. The other thing is how interesting everyone's all worked up about Iran and what they're doing with uranium. And meanwhile, recently, I saw Dr. Doug Roek come to speak at my school, and he was talking about depleted uranium that we use on military mortars in tanks and such, including shooting up the Palestine Hotel where all those press reporters, especially from Al Jazeera, happen to be, and how Baghdad is like a nuclear wasteland right now with all the depleted uranium shells we've unloaded on there. And worst of all, it's not just the Iraq, you know, those meaningless 30,000 dead Iraqis the president talks about that are at risk for contamination, but the American troops who are firing these and handling these are probably at the greatest risk because you can't wear a gas mask and shoot a rifle at the same time. Therefore, they're the ones probably being infected the most. It's, you know, Agent Orange Part 2. And you know, depleted uranium probably is really what Gulf War syndrome is, and nobody.
Well, there is a lot. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of speculation. I don't want to say speculation. There's been, and I want to say two studies that have been done that have identified that as the original cause of Gulf War syndrome. Have you ever met anybody who has had Gulf War syndrome, Spike?
Well, Dr. Doug Roek, he has contamination. He was telling us from the depleted uranium, and he suffers several health problems, and to the point he literally urinates small traces of uranium, which is, certainly is not natural.
That doesn't happen to me.
yeah. If you're urinating uranium,
oh my goodness,
that's problems.
There's, and I hate to say this, but it sounds like there's a joke there, but I'm not going to go there. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to go there. I have met. You know, and I rarely ever talk about my job on the air, my other job. But in the course of my other job, I have met a couple of people who have had, one for sure had Gulf War syndrome, another one possibly. And it is quite amazing to watch the debilitation that occurs with that situation. I mean, you know, whereas a guy may be totally functioning and you know, you meet him and everything seems great, you know, all of a sudden these mystery ailments start occurring. And then, you know, it's almost like a dementia sets in and people, I mean, it's just really the most, in all of the things, all of the ailments that I've seen among veterans, this is probably the one that has, that is the most far reaching and quick acting. And when it sets in, You know, it's just it's really quite. I mean, I don't want to use the word remarkable, but it's singular. I mean, there's nothing else that I can compare it to.
Yeah, and what's going on now is there's more and more cover-ups. You know, it sounds like a conspiracy theory. There's more and more cover-ups with the government, and not just the Pentagon and the private contractors who sell this junk to the Pentagon, but you know many presidential administrations have worked really hard to keep this kind of stuff out of the public eye, and not only out of the public eye, but out of the ears and the eyes of the soldiers themselves that are the ones at most at risk. And, you know, it's not just the H.W. Bush administration, W. Bush administration, you know, Clinton with Madeleine Albright, according to this Dr. Ruck. You know, they too worked really hard at keeping it hush-hush. You know, it's really interesting. You know, these guys at a drop of a hat, they can't wait to send someone off to die or anything, and then they don't want to tell them, oh, yeah, by the way, we're exposing you to uranium while you're at it. You know, they just want to. I know it's going to sound bad. I'm sure I'll offend somebody, but essentially they're treating the troops like trained monkeys. You know, they just teach them how to put it in and shoot it, and don't ask questions about what it might do to you. You know, just fire at the other guy. That's all. You know, that's all they want them to do. And you know, be damned with their health. You know, so long as they serve in the cause for the great empire. And it's just sickening to see what they're doing to people who, you know, this isn't even a draft army. This is a volunteer army. This is even worse than Agent Orange, where it was people who were victims of circumstance. Here are guys and women who are stepping forward to serve their country, you know, volunteering to do such, and they're getting totally, you know, defecated on, essentially, by the government. I mean, that's just beyond. I mean, beyond being anti-American, you know, acts like this. It's mind-numbing and just absolutely sickening. And I just can't understand how most of the media and the press in this country doesn't talk about an issue like depleted uranium use in military rounds and the dangers it's causing to our veterans. I mean, anyone who defends it ought to be just hung up from a bridge somewhere. I mean, to put it simply, I mean, this is just despicable what they're doing to the veterans of this country with things like that.
And, you know, and now they're planning on invading a country. We don't have the people.
Yeah.
You know, which means the inevitable return to a conscription. You know, and that bugs me. I mean, of course it bugs me, but it's because I'm against war. But, you know, it bugs me primarily because, you know, the present administration has pushed the all-volunteer army to a point, to a breaking point, and now is probably going to turn around and expect there to be, God, I lost my train wreck of thought there. You know, they're going to expect, you know, to be pulled to use a draft or use a conscription to try to get them to pull them out of a mess that they have created. That the rest of the United States right now is pretty much against, and says that Bush has lied our way into this country.
Yeah, and to think that, you know, if they think they got trouble with Iraq right now with it being a volunteer war, just, you know, start trying to make the word draft official and see how quickly everyone in this country really turns on certain powers to be in the United States government. I mean, after Vietnam, people fought awfully hard to do away with the draft. And, you know, to bring it back is just going to further upset and incite people. And some people think that would, in a way, that's good because that would deter people from war. But, you know, in reality, let's just put it in simple terms. This administration is filled with people who never served in a time of a draft. And, you know, they were able to get their ways out of it. So to them, it means nothing whether or not there's a draft because, you know, their families still will never be effective. I mean, there's always going to be the quote-unquote fortunate son, you know, and it's just, you know, it's almost like, as the public, we should say, bring on this idea of a draft, because once they do, the popularity of the war will plummet even further than it's already at.
And that's just it, you know. Well, you know, I mean, but Spike, we got to go with the, you know, we got to go to war with the army we got, not with the army we want.
The army we want apparently involves fictitious armies from Schwarzenegger films, because the funding and the gear we give ours is nowhere near what you see in Hollywood. You know, it's a shame that our Homeland Security really couldn't be handled by Jack Bauer, a.k.a. Keith Sutherland, from that Fox show, 24, because there's a case where the Hollywood version is much more functional than the real-life version, and it's the same for our military. I mean, nothing against our troops, but, I mean, you know, the government likes to, you know, cut corners here and there, and, you know, we went to war without proper armor, you know,
and my friend, they are outlawing the use of privately acquired body armor in Iraq.
Yeah, which is quite interesting. I was Op Truth. I can't remember what they are now with their website. They essentially started as a group to raise funds to get proper armor for the troops, and now all of a sudden that stuff will be outlawed. Which, I mean, why not just while you're at it, take the guns and the grenades away from the soldiers? See how they do hand to hand. I mean, you know. Where are you going to draw a line in the sand about protecting the troops, for crying out loud? I mean, you know, all of a sudden this has to be aesthetically the same. I mean, you know, how many years did this country, even when it was split in half, you know, sometimes guys fought with their own equipment they owned, and now all of a sudden now we can't do that. And maybe that's because back in, you know, the Civil War through World War II, we didn't have the lobbyists cashing in so greatly on a war effort as they did post-World War II. And I'm sure some would argue World War One and World War Two that corporations made out quite well with the war, and in a way they did. But yeah. it was much different than what they do now.
Exactly. Well, and now it's not even hidden. I mean, you know, some of that stuff was just not talked about. But now it's like, yeah, we're going to make a little bunch of money, and we don't care what you think.
So, yeah.
I think it's interesting. Here's another. I just found out. Yes, it is optruth.org. This is Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America website. You can go to optruth.org. And right on their front page, I'll just read this. You know, a new GAO study says U.S. military bases are increasingly insecure due to personnel shortages. The Army has hired private contractors to guard its domestic facilities, but used sole source contractors like Alaska Native Corporations rather than conducting competitive bidding to find the best options and training them adequately. The result? Among other things, the hiring of unscreened security guards, some with criminal histories at U.S. installations.
Yeah, well, you know...
So we have guys who are, you know, who have served time for breaking and entering, guarding sensitive military bases.
These are probably also some of the same guys that handled the security of Baghdad following the fall of the Saddam regime, you know, when it was Lutapalooza.
Lutapalooza.
Lutapalooza, yeah. I pulled that one from someplace very dark out of nowhere. But, essentially we have a couple of maybe not blue-collar thieves where they'll climb in windows and steal things, but white-collar criminals, of course, running the show. And what's wrong with hiring a few strong-hand thugs while you're at it to handle a few things for you? I mean, they gave G. Gordon Liddy a job once, you know. So I wouldn't put it above them at all.
I wouldn't either. It's just, we have reached a point, though, I think, Spike, where the people are waking up. And the polls are saying it. The polls that are out there, every one of them successively has gotten worse and worse and worse for this president. And that tells me only one thing, and that is that the American people are waking up. I did a tea reading today here in Nevada City, and Miss Margaret, who did the tea reading, says to me, these were her words, "The American people are waking up." So if Miss Margaret in Nevada City, California, says that the American people are waking up, by golly, they're waking up.
I can only hope not only do the American people wake up, but also the people in many communities across this country wake up about what's going on in their communities, because America has just grown too inactive in what goes on in their home, whether it's nationally or locally. I mean, and I see that every day here in the city of Easton. I mean, 26,000 residents in the city itself, you know, 4 square miles, and we go to city council and it's basically the same 10, you know, the same list, 10 citizens showing up every week, you know, asking questions, you know, where's the other 20, 25,000, you know, and 90 people that live in the city, You know, it's just, no one cares sometimes what goes on. So let's hope not only do people wake up about what goes on nationally, it inspires them to get involved locally, too, especially.
I totally agree. Spike, thanks so much for your call tonight, man. I'm glad you got in this evening. I had been missing you there. But
it
sounds like you got a cold, man. What are you doing for that, by the way?
Nothing much lately. I was really sick last week.
Can I recommend some tea?
You've probably been drinking too much tea lately.
Oh, okay. You know, we're not talking that kind of tea, man.
Well, no. Just, you know, all this talk about tea lately. But
tea this, tea that.
I could certainly give it a try.
Yeah, you know, try some, what was that? I'm trying to remember the doggone tea. Anyway, you know what? Check out my website later on in the week. I'll have something up there.
All right, that worked.
The other thing is Airborne. Use Airborne. That's good stuff too.
Yeah. I should give that a try. I've never tried that before. You know, so far the only things I've been taking as a remedy for my cough is Lowenbrow, Shiva's Regal on the rocks, and there was a shot of Black House at some point last night.
Well, you know, a Southern Comfort tastes kind of like cough syrup, so maybe you can try some of that.
Yeah, I could try it.
All right, man. Thanks
one.
So much for calling in tonight, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. That was my friend Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania, and we always give my friend Spike plenty of time on the radio because he's got a good take on stuff. We cruised through the last break, so we're going to go ahead and take one here directly. If you want to get in on Conversation Radio, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can get on All Things Reconsidered. And we don't limit this to membership. This is pretty much an open format. And I'm hearing the music, so we'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered.
Good. Once, Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
You're back on All Things with Bruce Birch, and I love to, you know, again, I'm sitting back listening to the music going, oh, yeah, I got to go on the air. Oops. Spike, thanks for calling in last half hour. We're talking about all kinds of interesting things in the conversation there, and it appears that we have my good friend and compadre, Michael, from Ojai, California. Mr. Steady, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, Bruce. Hi, everyone. Bob and Agnes and everyone. I'm doing good. And Rowdy's over here up in Ojai. It's good to be on the phone in our home and listening to the radio or your netcast on Sunday night. Very cool. I've really been looking forward to relaxing and being able to enjoy it. But with all the stuff going on, it's been tough.
I bet. How's your campaign going? Now, for those of you who aren't aware, the gentleman I have on the phone with me right now, Michael Stettler, is running for Congress in the 24th District of California, which is Ojai. And what is the district consist of?
The district by way of land area is massive. It goes down from Simi Valley, which borders Los Angeles County, and goes all the way up through Ventura County, and into Santa Barbara County and up through the northern border of Santa Barbara County, and which borders San Luis Obispo County. So three counties in the Tri-County area.
Now, I know that you guys had a whole situation with the primary and then Congressman Gallagly, who currently holds the seat, pulled out. Where is that situation now?
Gallagly's name will be on the ballot. And a 37-year-old Republican attorney who's not really a big Gallagly fan decided that he was going to pull papers and run. And he has just recently capped a $5,000 fund generation, so he's got to file a report. That's coming within 14 days. And the Democratic challenger, Jill Martinez, is speaking out here in Ojai at the end of next week, or this coming Friday. So I intend to meet her as a constituent, but as, oh yeah, by the way, I pulled write-in papers because I did not qualify for the partisan nomination on March 10th.
Really? Well, you know, that's still...
But I'm new at this.
There you go. You know, and there is a congressional race every 2 years, so, you know...
Well,
you
it's
don't...
a long way to November, and I don't want to sound like we're petering out here. Because
that's right. Oh, I hear you, buddy.
What has happened is Ms. Bertle has had some challenges, and we're in the midst of sorting this out. But I want to make it known to everybody listening that Hathaway Law Firm is handling the end of this and is not doing Ms. Myrtle's wishes. And I think it's important that everybody know that. And as many people who are listening and can tell anyone and is concerned about citizen rights as senior citizens, as well as a, let's say, 92-year-old woman's ability to field a congressional candidate, is interested in this case, especially
and,
in our district at
and
this time.
Lady, and she's been funding your run thus far, is that right?
Well, she initially she initially wrote the check to the Secretary of State, so there was no question about me being a candidate. Just covered the filing fee. Just wrote the check.
Okay.
So everyone in the area knew that all I had to do was pull signatures. And I'm not going to speculate as to why those signatures didn't come in. Bottom line is, I didn't get them. I didn't get them to the office at 5 when it closed. There was a huge stink in the district when Gallagher, within his own party, knows he can't withdraw. Says, I'm going to run. No one runs against him. Oh, I'm not going to run. Just at the last minute, so no one can pull papers. And then says, oh, I'm going to run. So that's what's going on in our district. And I pulled papers for a write-in campaign this Monday. And I will get my signatures. They're due on May 23rd. That's not a problem. But the Democratic Convention in California is coming up, I believe 27th through the 29th. And if you're in California, Bruce, I'm going to get to meet you.
Yes, you may very well get
to meet. That's so cool. That is very cool.
Well, I think it's going to be great to put my hand in your hand and shake it, man. And
Hug.
Well, right on. We'll do that,
definitely
too.
In order, sir. I just wanted to tie in here, not to create divisions amongst the Dems, and just to close it out as we're talking about the convention coming up in 2 weeks here in California. And you mentioned Lieberman. And I just want to talk about the type of Dem that we're looking at with that. And you tie it right in to the immigration and look back at the Clinton years. And I got a couple notes here just as I heard Spike talking. Peter Romero was Assistant Secretary of Inter-American Affairs and was really the neocon enforcing Madeleine Albright's policies regarding the money and narco-terrorism and what was left of Iran-Contra, that network. You had, Paul Grasso, the former head of the New York Stock Exchange, and Raul Reyes, which is known as the Grasso Imbrasso, where you had New York money and head of the Colombian FARC embracing in Colombia. And Lieberman's network in the Democratic Party, Time to Steinhardt, and that type of organization is the element within the Democratic Party itself, which needs to be examined as we go through this. Let's sort this stuff out. And again, that's what my campaign represents. I do not want to be tied to anything that people associate in that, Democratic context. Let's get the issues out on the table, and let's support populations and bring the books in, and to start building stuff to protect people. Remember, our country in the Gulf states is wasted.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think is interesting about your campaign and a lot of other citizen candidates that I've talked to on air on this radio program is that, every one of you guys has a program that is based in conviction. And or has a not necessarily a program, but a I don't know what you call it, campaign. I'm totally at a loss. I can believe this. I'm at a loss for words.
Well, I've got one for you. Michael Stettler for Congress makes sense. SENS, Simple Economic National Solutions.
Simple Economic National Solutions. I love
yes,
it.
Yes, Michael Stettler for Congress makes sense.
Well, but, you're unique because you're Michael Stettler, but you're not
well,
unique.
Thank you, and you, Bruce Burtz, are unique because you're Bruce Burtz. I love you.
But you're not unique in that there are other candidates out there that are espousing the same, peaceful message. I mean, doing it from a place of integrity, and that's what we're not seeing right now. We're not seeing integrity in the folks that are in power. The degrees of separation from Joe Lieberman and George Bush, I think Joe is sometimes actually to the right of George Bush. So we need some definite differences in the parties that are in Washington. I'd like to see an opposition party in Washington. And I'd like to see you as one of those members,
I certainly represent a force that is reckoned with behind the scenes in this area. And via my policy statement, American system and infrastructure building is something that the bankers want no part of and have historically battled with national solutions at low percentage for infrastructure. That is the battle, and why nothing's happening with Katrina down there. And that's what we're shooting for.
Right on.
Policies back. Fixed exchange rate, bed counts per 1,000 per square mile per county. Let's bring that up, and that's the cost. That's the bottom line. Fixed prices on that. Let's get the insurance companies out of the picture who obviously aren't going to pay on everything that happened in Katrina. There's no way that these people can come up with that money. So they're frauds, and let's restructure our income streams in such a manner that the next generation is not going to be susceptible to this type of manipulation.
That was very well said, my friend.
Bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, what else is on you? Tell me, what do you think about this whole Iran situation? What would you see as a solution what's your take on Iran being able to enrich to enrich uranium and to have nuclear technology?
Well, Bruce, I heard you say it earlier that they have the right to the technology, and I would be, I'd say the same. That every country has that technology. And the problem with that is we've already broken the rules by way of preemptive strike, and that would be a threat. Although they say that they're using it for nuclear energy, the neocons and their war-making see that as a threat. And that is what the war drum is being beat, and that's what the war drum sounded like before Iraq. And it is the same game. Get the war going. Pit people against one another, divide and conquer. And once you get something like that going, it's a lot easier to get it going than to get it stopped.
That's very true. And I think that when we did the top of the hour break, I went and took care of personal business and had an epiphany. And the epiphany was, and I read one of these stories, and in this story there was one of the intelligence planners had said that the plans to invade Iran predated plans to invade Iraq. Now, when I was on the air and I said that, it didn't really click. But when I went off the air and had a moment to think about it, what came across my mind was that perhaps the entire invasion of Iraq was to have a staging area to invade Iran.
I would, just like you were looking at the Katrina disaster and as a way for people to say, hey, look, the government can't do anything. We got to let corporations take care of these affairs because obviously they're the ones who are coming through. Iraq is the springboard, and there's a policy, and people want to Google clean break. Google clean break, and you'll get the policy of the neocons using Israel as a hand grenade for that operation. And that's a different look at the same situation. But it would be the exact springboard. The U.S., Sharon's out of the picture now, so we got a little complication for the neocons in that region, using Israel in that capacity, but they didn't with Sharon.
You're talking about a clean break, a new strategy for securing the realm?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You can go into that, but couple that with National Security Study Memorandum 200. And that's Kissinger, and you have a clear definition of their intention for the world for the last 30 years, and they've been pretty darn good at getting it done.
Yeah, well, and that's just is that really all there needs to be is enough of a creation to spin so that the populace, the masses, we really just kind of like. Wait to see, wait for to be told what to think. We wait to be told how to act, what to do. And that's the biggest problem, as I see it. And I'm glad there's guys like you that are out there trying to get this truth out there, man. So.
I got a little slogan kind of on that theme. Instead of we the people, actually what it is we the media. And what we the media says is when we want your opinion, we will give it to you. There are many means of distribution at this time.
Wow. Well, and that's, unfortunately, that's absolutely the case. I mean, I was reading, or I was, right before, in the first hour of the program, I was also criticizing the media because the media won't give out the truth about Iraq. What they will say is that Iran, what they will say is that Iran is being defiant, that Iran is, you know, defiant in the face of what? As if every, you know, nation in the world needs to acquiesce to American power and do everything that we tell them to do. I mean, that's just totally an arrogant place to come from.
And I want to make it clear, it sounds to me like you want no part of it, and neither do I.
Of course not. Betty, thanks for calling, man.
Thank you.
Have a great evening, and we'll try to get together next week.
Yes, and happy Easter.
Happy Fertility Festival to you, too.
Oh, sure.
All right, man.
Bye now.
Bye now. This is Bruce Spurge. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered. If you want to get in on the radio program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, it certainly is true in music. And practicing music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend his time, or her time. A young person who studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. Parents, think about encouraging your kids to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that they really like, the one that really clicks for them. Get to know the school's music teacher and encourage your child to join school music ensembles. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Dancing in my chair. y'all. This is Bruce Birch back on All Things Reconsidered with you, your weekly radio program that brings you all kinds of crazy stuff. We talk about it all right here. You know, I'm going to get together. You know, for those of you who are in the Los Angeles area or thereabouts, I will be in Los Angeles the end of this week, which will be Thursday, and I'll be there from Thursday through until the 30th. I fly out on the 30th. So if you're interested in getting together, maybe having a dinner or something, you know, give me an email. Send me an email, brucebirch@earthlink.net, brucebirch@earthlink.net. I've gotten a couple of requests here in the chat room. So, you know, hey, if you're interested, let's do it. Let's get together. You know, I'm game if you are. What the heck? Anyway, well, we talked about Iran tonight. We've talked about a number of different things. We talked about Iraq, too, and I never did get to my tea reading. So those of you who have stuck around this far, I don't have anybody on the line right now, so I'm going to go ahead and do the tea reading. Now, let me just tell you about Miss Margaret. Miss Margaret was in her 80s. Miss Margaret was a very wonderful elderly lady. She was all smiles, and she had lots of smile lines around her eyes, and had this really wonderful print polyester top that was very floral in nature, and a black knit sweater. I'm telling you all this because I want you to know that this lady was she was just really, really the bomb. She was cool. Now, this, of course, this tea reading. Now, I don't know if you know how many of you folks actually believe in this kind of thing, and it doesn't really matter. I don't know how much I believe in it, but it was really a great, it was really actually quite great. I had a great time doing it. Okay, so if you've never done a tea reading, what happens is, you know, you pick the kind of tea, or they pick it for you. They give you a Chinese teacup, which is a very round, small cup, and you drink the tea, and as you're drinking, you have a conversation with the person, and then once you get done with the tea, you get down toward the bottom, you start swirling it around the cup. And the trick is to try to get some of the tea leaves to stick up around the top of the rim so that then that gives her something to read. Now, if there's nothing, if you can't get it to stick up there, that means that, you know, you have no future. No, what it means is that you, that actually everything is going to be clear and peaceful for you. But I fortunately was able to get a lot of the leaves to stick around the top of the cup. And so she went into great detail telling me what all of this meant. And shared a lot of things with me, which I will share with you. Now, it seemed like a lot of the tea reading itself. Now, I don't know. Am I breaking etiquette here? If I actually let me ask this question. Hang on. Well, maybe I'll just ask it. If I tell you about the tea reading, does that make it null and void? I'm seeing shrugging shoulders. Maybe my producer Agnes can tell me. It's fine to tell other people, she says. Okay, all right. Agnes says I can. Agnes, my producer, says it's fine if I tell other people. I think she wants to hear it. I think that's what it is. She just wants to know. okay. Now, okay. So let's go ahead and start the tea. I only got a couple of minutes left, so let me hurry up and do this. The tea reading. Okay. Two major things that I wanted to mention. According to Miss Margaret, the Head-On Radio Network is going to be very successful. Now, she didn't call it the Head-On Radio Network. She called it the collaborative creative effort that you're involved in. Now, that sounds like the Head-On Radio Network. She says that it's going to be very, very successful, very solid, and very, very profitable as well. Okay. According to Miss Margaret, I'm going to be flying to the Far East several times over the next 3 years, and they're going to be business trips, and they will be wildly successful. That'll be an interesting thing to see. According to Miss Margaret, I will be. Let's see what else. Working on creating some sort of service-based organization, which will also be very successful. And the bombshell of all, I'm just going through this really quickly because I want to get to the closing thing here. Also, according to Miss Margaret, at the end of the third year, apparently, she is saying that I'll be in the movies or on television or something. This is what she's, the vision that she had, and that'll be, so that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't know that I'm suited for television. I mean, I sound much better on the radio than I look in person, folks. That's why I'm doing radio. Anyway, so there's your tea reading for the night. I will, you know, I'll write this up and we'll post it and see how well it sticks to the, how closely it sticks to the truth. Last but not least, folks, as I do every week, I want to thank you for listening to the program, but I also want to thank you for actively participating in your own future. I want to actively say thank you, mainly because, you know, the very future of this nation depends on the actions that you take as a human being and as a citizen of this nation to stand aside from the rest of the pack and to scream at the top of your lungs the truth. Because if you don't do it, the masses won't hear it. It's not coming through on the radio. It's not coming through your television set. You're not going to read it in the newspaper. But if you dig deep enough, you can find it. And when you do find it, make sure that everyone that you know knows the truth. Because when one person knows the truth, and three people know the truth, and six people know the truth, and 12 people know the truth, that exponentially grows. And when it grows, what we can do is change this world for the better. So this week, as you're going out and you're doing your thing, as I always say every week, this week as you're going out and doing your thing, man, you know, touch another spirit. Create a new relationship. Try to, you know, make the world a better place one person at a time. That's what we try to do on this program. That's what I try to do in my everyday life and everyday dealings with others. Treat the world as if you never met a stranger. And what will happen when you do that is you will never meet one, as I never met a stranger in Miss Margaret. What a fantastic lady.